The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back into another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. I am Steven Serta, and we got a Super Bowl later on today. So let me welcome in the leader of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. It feels like we've been waiting on the Super Bowl for a month. We're all tired and exhausted. It's been a very busy week, but it is finally upon us, and hopefully we will see the Kansas City Chiefs bring home another Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah, it is, of course, the day we wait for at the beginning of each season, especially now in Kansas City. They were fortunate enough to get here at times during the season. It seemed like that would be a reach, but they came on at precisely the right time, and it's all built up to today in a matchup against the 49ers.
So I've been talking all week just about kind of vibes and, you know, atmosphere, and you pointed out too that it does seem like the betting public is still very much on the side of the San Francisco 49ers, even though I feel like all the vibes, like I feel like a lot of media members, a lot of places that cover the Chiefs full time, a lot of national media outlets really feel confident in the Kansas City Chiefs ahead of this game. And as I do each and every week, like I've combed over this matchup a dozen different times this week. And the only outcome that I can really come to when it's like, OK, the 49ers could totally dominate the Chiefs in this facet is really if the Chiefs just turn the football over and the defense totally falls apart, which hasn't happened all year. And so I still feel extremely confident that the Chiefs can win this thing on Sunday, but I'm also like talking myself out of it because I'm like, no, you're too confident. Even though we've seen what this defense can do against anybody all season long.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think as the season was going on and we got to the third, you know, three quarters through and then into the playoffs, we did say, I mean, we were constantly saying if they didn't make mistakes, if they didn't have turnovers, if they didn't make penalties, that they could beat anyone and they would probably beat anyone. And it seemed before that started to happen that it was too much to ask like this particular year. And then they finally did it. And I think you've seen them win. I mean, we've talked about it a lot this year about how they're still a quality football team. They're just winning differently. And throughout the playoffs, I think you've seen a really, really clean, efficient team. And it hasn't been the high-powered scoring that maybe we've seen in years past, but it's a team that really sucks to life, I think, is the best way to put it, out of the game and really prevents the other team from ever getting into a rhythm and ever having control.
Yeah, and what we've seen from them this postseason, like I think it's me being cautious because I feel like every time I was buying into the Chiefs this season, you know, they'd have a really frustrating performance. I'd be like, man, this team just doesn't have it, but that defense is so good. And now they're back here all over again. And We got our final injury report on Friday evening, and the Chiefs officially ruled out guard Joe Tooney. That was totally expected. Prince Tegu-Winogo also not getting activated off of injured reserve. Jerick McKinnon's listed as questionable ahead of this game, but everybody else is expected to go. So no changes really from the Chiefs injury report based on what we've kind of been planning for over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about how, you know, we thought all week that it would be Nick Allegretti. He's been working at that spot all throughout practice. Andy Reid was pretty straightforward about how, you know, it'd be a reach for Tooney to play in this game just from a strength standpoint. And so they turned it to Allegretti. And, you know, as we found out years ago, the Chiefs really wanted to bolster the depth of their offensive line. And Allegretti is an ample replacement. He had a really nice AFC title game. We've already talked about how he led the Chiefs as far as pass blocking grades, according to Pro Football Focus. And he's excited for this chance. You know, this is a player that works really hard behind the scenes and a lot of times doesn't crack the lineup. And so someone that's played in games before, and we'll see what happens. And then when it comes to McKinnon, I think it's still a reach. You know, we've talked a lot about it. I talked about my conversation with Clyde earlier in the week. I just still tend to think that it's going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire and, of course, starter Isaiah Pacheco when it comes to the running back position. I think the point to watch is the wide receiver room, and maybe a little bit less about injuries right now and more so about who the Chiefs like more. But I wonder if Kadarius Toney will be active. I wonder if Sky Moore will be active. I wonder if both are active. I wonder if none of them, neither of the guys are active. So those are kind of the points that we'll be watching.
Yeah, I just, as far as the offense goes, it just feels like they've really found the groove here in the playoffs. Right. And I know, I think Toney is a little bit more tempting to, like, you know, put him out there on a punt return or see if you can get the 49ers on one play design to him or something like that over Sky Moore. But I tend to think the Chiefs know what's working right now. And I would have to imagine that the game plan going into the Super Bowl is going to be to focus on the guys who have consistently made plays throughout the playoffs for them in Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, and I guess, Pete, a little bit of Marquez Valdez-Scantling, because he has come up clutch for the Chiefs multiple times this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show how quickly the narrative on certain players can change. I think it happened with Clyde toward the end of the year, especially when Isaiah Pacheco had those two games where he missed. And then into the playoffs, it's happened with Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He was incredibly disappointing this year from a production standpoint, but he's come up big in the playoffs. And two AFC title games in a row, he had the production last year. And then this year, I think, should the Chiefs win the championship, a lot of people are going to remember that final play where Patrick Mahomes threw it all the way down the field and they made a on-his-back catch to really seal the deal and send the Chiefs to the Super Bowl here. So I like Marquez Valdez-Scantling. You know, I think the Chiefs really have confidence in Rashee Rice and Justin Watson. So, you know, I don't know if they would go and try to draw plays for somebody else at this point.
And when we're talking about the Chiefs offense and how they match up against this 49ers defense, which, you know, that's been a big talking point this season. This 49ers defense has not been overwhelming by any means during their playoff run. And really, when you kind of dig into the numbers over the back half of the regular season and throughout the playoffs, their defense has been getting torched on the ground. And, you know, we've seen Isaiah Pacheco come through with some big performances in the Chiefs playoff run, but their running game hasn't exactly been the most efficient thing in the playoffs. But like we already mentioned, it's about not turning the football over, keeping the offense on the field, having these long sustained drives, which is something that they've been executing to perfection so far in the playoffs. So that running game, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to have a role in the Super Bowl, because I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to have a really big role in the Super Bowl, and they've got to exploit that matchup. I think they're absolutely going to be able to find some success on the ground against this 49ers defense.
Yeah, I think Andy Reid always used to try to lean into one running back, and now it seems like he's more so like to have two guys holding the rock, so to speak. And I think when you look at Clyde, I think he has had these games and these plays where he's been a really nice third down back for the Chiefs. I know they really trust him in the screen game. It seems like, you know, when they have used him sparingly toward the end of the year, it's how we first thought he might be used in Kansas City when he was taken with that last pick in the first round. And so, yeah, I think both players will have a role, certainly more touches for Isaiah Pacheco, but I do think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will have a few, and we'll see what he can do with his opportunities.
And for the Chiefs pass catchers, like, we know Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice are going to have huge roles in the offense, but that's also another spot where you would think with the linebackers that the 49ers have, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, like, those are stud linebackers to have on any defense in the NFL, but they've actually been pretty bad at covering tight ends. And obviously they're going to try to key in on Travis Kelce because we know Travis Kelce, if he finds success and finds openings and he's able to make some plays, that makes the entire offense work for the Kansas City Chiefs. But when you dive into their numbers against tight ends, I was actually pretty shocked at how bad they've been against it. And it kind of makes me think that we're going to get a couple of design looks to Noah Gray or something too, because it feels like that's a matchup that the Chiefs have probably spent a lot of time trying to find ways to exploit over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think people, for whatever reason, really seem to like Noah Gray and what he brings to the table in this game. I mean, Andy Reid really does find ways to use everybody. And so I think you're right. I think he is somebody potentially to watch, you know, as we get closer and as this game draws nearer. I think there'll be no stone unturned. And, of course, Andy Reid, one of the most creative play callers in the NFL, if not the most creative. I know that Kyle Shanahan is on the other side. And so this isn't a situation where you leave anything in the book. You know, there's no saving for tomorrow, quite obviously. And so we'll see if there are some surprise plays and potentially some surprise targets that maybe we haven't seen as much this playoffs.
And obviously, former Chief Charvarius Ward, who is in the middle of an all-pro season for the 49ers, he's been fantastic since leaving the Chiefs in free agency and signing in San Francisco. But he is by far the 49ers' most talented cornerback. And I think a smart defensive coordinator would say, Charvarius, you got to shadow Rashee Rice. You got to follow him all over the field. The problem is the 49ers don't do that at all. Like, Charvarius Ward plays one side of the field, and it would be really out of character in the Steve Wilks defense for him to travel with Rashee Rice. But I think that's easily the best situation for the 49ers defense. It would just be kind of a shock. So I think that's something Chiefs fans should really pay attention to. If they actually are willing to commit to that and move Charvarius Ward around the formation to have him shadow Rashee Rice in this game.
Yeah, I don't see any shadowing. And the Chiefs move their receivers and tight ends and just pass catchers in general all over, you know, the line of scrimmage. And so it's hard to, when you're, you know, doing that one side for one man, the other, to suddenly shift. You know, like we're talking with all the receivers for the Chiefs, I don't think this is a game where you suddenly change your identity. I mean, these are two teams that are left out of 32. And so, and I think a lot of the stuff we've seen all year is going to be the case. No drastic changes. And it's just who can play the best on Sunday.
And as far as the Chiefs and how they match up with the 49ers on offense, like, we know how loaded the 49ers are on that side of the ball. And, you know, you want to stop Christian McCaffrey, you want to stop Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. You're probably not going to stop all of them. But the big thing with the 49ers is limiting them when they first catch the ball, not giving up the yards after contact. And I think that's why this is such a good matchup for this Chiefs defense, because it's another underrated part about them just as an overall unit. Like, they don't give up a lot of yak yards. They tackle and they want to hit people, and everybody in the secondary does it. All of their linebackers are exceptional at it. And the defensive line, for as much as they put pressure on quarterbacks, sometimes gives up a little bit. But that's the biggest thing going against this 49ers offense, is they're better at it than any team in the NFL. They can turn a 5-yard pass into a 60-yard touchdown if you do not bring them down on the initial contact.
Yeah, and I talked with Steve Spagnuolo about this and wrote it in the newsletter, and it's just it's a very hard offense to, you know, key in one particular guy. And, you know, I think what the reality is, like, there's going to be some times when the Chiefs take risks. You know, they may double one player on a given play or a given look, and, or, you know, they may give a base look and send an extra blitzer, and, you know, you're going to have to deal with potentially one of these explosive receivers or pass catchers or running backs being wide open. And, you know, you got to just trust, I think, what Spags has been able to do. And really, I think what the players have been able to do, in the sense of they've been opponent proof. I've talked about it all week. And, you know, you have a fortunate situation. Like, Javarius Ward probably isn't going to follow anyone around, but Jerry Sneed will. And I tend to think the player that he will follow and just talking with these guys is Deebo Samuel. And then you trust the rest of the defense to, you know, be able to stop some of the other targets such as a Christian McCaffrey and, you know, George Kittle and a Brandon Ayuk. In talking to a lot of these defensive backs and even the linebackers, they're very high this week on just making sure their eyes are true. You know, Nick Bolton talked to me a little bit about eye candy in the backfield. You know, the 49ers like to do a lot of things with pre-snap motion and to get guys off balance and to be looking at the wrong thing. And so it's a lot of discipline and trusting. It's like being selectively aggressive on defense. And, you know, through what has been now what, 17 regular season games and three playoff games here, 20 games in, they've been pretty solid in every game. You know, there's only been moments of weaknesses here and there. And so I just think there's no reason to think that won't continue on in this game against the 49ers.
Yeah, and you talk about all the motion that the 49ers like to use. Christian McCaffrey goes in motion as much as any player in the NFL because he is this do-it-all superstar running back who can catch passes, create explosive plays. Like, he is the biggest mismatch for the Chiefs in this game because he is just such a devastating weapon that is so impossible to stop at times. So I think that's one of the biggest keys in this game for the Chiefs defense. And then when I was looking back over the course of the regular season, kind of diving into this 49ers offense and trying to figure out, like, how do you slow them down? And their matchups against the Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens, and the Cincinnati Bengals, which the Bengals had kind of a down year on defense this year, but Lou Anarumo is still an incredible defensive coordinator. Those were the three games where Brock Purdy had the most issues, where this 49ers offense had the most issues overall. And the biggest theme in all of those games is that all of those defenses are talented enough to really disguise coverages, and they'll blitz you too. They don't care about that. Like, they're going to try to get after you. And that's one of the things that Steve Spagnuolo and this defense have excelled at this season. Like, they are one of the best teams in the NFL at disguising coverages. And I think that's what gives him the best chance to really give Brock Purdy some issues, because we know Steve Spagnuolo is going to bring some heat and try to pressure him. But it's getting Brock Purdy to get confused, because we know that Brock Purdy will make some bad decisions if you confuse him a little bit and get some pressure on it.
Yeah, he's susceptible, I think, to unraveling, where, you know, we rarely see that with Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's where, you know, the spread of the game has been confusing, is because I think it's not only Mahomes that has the experience of being in this game. It's pretty much the whole team. I mean, there's Rashee Rice, of course, who wasn't here last year, but largely this is a similar team from last year. And, you know, that extends to the quarterback position. And even when Mahomes does have a mistake, like an interception, you know, you've seen those clips with NFL films of Andy Reid just telling him to keep firing. And he doesn't seem to really get rattled and let that tailspin into a bad performance. I think that can happen with Purdy. And so I think a key part of how this game is going to go is Purdy settling in and comfortable in the first quarter, after the first quarter, or does it go poorly? Because then I think, you know, it's going to be an easy pick for the Chiefs to win this game. And I think it'll be easy to tell early.
I certainly picked them to win this game. I already announced my prediction. I got the Chiefs winning 27-21. I think that defense is just going to give the 49ers enough problems that the Chiefs will get there on Sunday, hopefully. Pete, do you have your official prediction ahead of Sunday Super Bowl?
Yeah, I was always favoring the Chiefs, regardless of, you know, what the odds and the books have been saying. And I was just wondering, like, what do I think as far as how, you know, by how much? And I landed on, I do think this is going to be a little bit more defensive than folks realize. And so I got the Chiefs holding the 49ers to 17 points. And I think this is the game, just based on what Jordan Love and Jared Goff were able to do against the 49ers defense in the playoffs. I think this is the game where the Chiefs offense looks a little bit more like they did in previous years. And so I have the Chiefs scoring 30, a 13 point win, 30-17, Kansas City. And maybe for once, you know, with a two possession score, you know, as I'm predicting, it'll be a little bit less dicey in the fourth quarter. The Chiefs are always playing these close games, making, you know, fans stand up out of their chairs, the cardiac Chiefs. Maybe it'll be a little bit more comfortable this year in the fourth quarter.
He's Pete Sweeney. You can follow him on Twitter at PGSweeney. And I'm Steven Sertz, where you can find me. Make sure you stay locked into ArrowheadPride.com. We got absolutely everything you need to know ahead of Sunday Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers. Hopefully the Chiefs will finish off this back-to-back title run after the last one didn't quite go the way that they planned. I will talk to you immediately after the Super Bowl, hopefully celebrating a Chiefs win with Rocky Maganya on the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. As always, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review everything that we are doing right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. We will talk to you on Sunday after the Super Bowl.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. It's obviously an exciting time as the Chiefs enter this season looking to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champs in nearly 20 years. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. In the offseason, the party won't stop. We'll still be covering the biggest stories, and all the offseason's twists and turns will show up in your inbox on a regular basis. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.